Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav. For now, we have so much to bloody talk about because, well, we've got 1 week bans and a couple of the 1 week bans. One includes people using the words title race heating up. And it really is heating up, Flav. It really is,
yeah, it is.
Heating up. It's getting hot. It's getting spicy. We can touch on Eddie Howe. Oh, how many games has he got? Easy on his knees. And we're going to do another thing that's been asked to be given a 1 week ban. We'll go through our 1 week bans because there's some funny bits in there as well. But someone said combined 11s. Now, earlier in the week, I was supposed to do a combined 11 with brother Rory on the Ripple Effect. Weren't able to get it done. So me and you, we're going to try something different on this football podcast where we previously have tried to keep football out of it. And we're going to try and put together a combined 11. I teased it last week on the podcast that I was going to do it with Rory. The boys at Saturday Social clearly heard. No, they didn't. They had the similar idea and did the same idea. So now it looks like we're copying them, which was a combined 11 between Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal players.
What do you think that is the obscene popularity or obsession in football content makers to do a combined 11? It seems to be everywhere I go, I'm asked to do one. And do you know what it is? Is they know.
I've never asked you to do a combined 11 before now.
I reckon I've done 7 this year.
Really?
Probably, yeah, easy. Across, like,
how many of those?
I've done it on social about three times. I did it on the overlap, Saturday Social. I did it on the overlap.
People
love them.
They bloody love them. Well, they love a Spurs Arsenal one, don't they?
Yeah.
How many of them have been Spurs Arsenal?
All of them.
Yeah. So this should be refreshing.
This one was good, Jim, because I didn't have anyone to argue with me. I just got to say it to the camera, so I just picked who I want and then walked away.
Oh, really? That is good. That is good.
Yeah. And this one doesn't involve Spurs, which makes things easier. Then I can have an actual conversation about it.
I think you're going to enjoy this. I think it's good. Because I think I actually have no problem with a combined 11. I think the problem is when you support the team within the combined 11. I don't support the team within the combined 11. So I actually think this is a really interesting conversation that we can have and go, well, look, I fully understand that there are several great players. We spoke about in the pod last week that, you know, even in the centre-back position, you've obviously got Saliba, Gabriel, Virgil van Dijk, Konate, Diaz, Akanji, if you want to chuck him in there, of course, and Stones as well. Bloody hell, right? And you can only pick two. Now, that's difficult.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
And it is difficult. It's also, you can't get it wrong or right.
Yeah, which is perfection when it comes to football content. What I don't understand sometimes is the anger. It's the anger I don't get.
Mate, like the worst reaction I've got from any pieces of content have come from combined 11s. Like the impact of what you say is no more severe than when you're doing a combined 11. It's insane. And I don't know whether there's a lack of, I don't know what it is. It's just it's clearly, there are a lot of football fans out there, primarily ones that exist, you know, largely of their time engaging in football is on Twitter or in the digital landscape. Doesn't tend to be match day going fans that get as irritated.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's like you've insulted their family by suggesting that that there might be Spurs players that get into this Arsenal team.
What's a really great shout. So our beloved patrons, who, as I say again, I haven't been able to do the mailbag this week, so we apologise for that. But we normally do. And we've got loads of you now, and it's wonderful to have you all. And someone just said, for rattleability, let's think of the worst one as well. So at the end of it, we'll maybe, I'll do that, and maybe we can like I'll draw it, and we'll get it out, we'll put it out, and just tuck into a bit of engagement. A bit dangerous though, isn't it? Rattleability is a great word. Get it in the dictionary. Do you know, I think my rattleability is miles higher than yours. Don't you think?
What do you mean? How easy it is you rattled?
I mean, John, someone needs to give us a full definition of rattleability.
Your resistance to it, or how easily rattled you are?
Because I think I walk through life without the fog of people attempting to rattle me, really. So whereas you have to deal with it every single bloody day. So I don't think you get rattled as much as me.
Oh, I see. I understand what you're saying.
I think you're better than me. Yeah. Easily.
No, but you're often, after a while, it's just noise, isn't it? You hear it every day, then it's just noise. I don't even look at like Twitter, for example. Anywhere that someone might be able to access me or want to give me grief. The ones that get me, actually, sneaky ones, I shouldn't say this really, they're the message requests on Instagram or on weird, the weirdest one, one gooner, strange, found my Facebook account, which isn't listed, and messaged me on Facebook Messenger or whatever it was, however he managed to do it. That was odd. But other than that, yeah, it's just noise. I don't give a shit. If someone's digging me out for my opinion, that's one thing. Digging, like, actually physically, like, insults because I suggested that, you know, Kane might be a better striker than Thierry Henry. I think, you know, this is more of a reflection on what you are than what I've said.
Well, it's, you know, engagement's great, but it's about the sort of, I guess, it's rattleability is good because, like, what is your rattleability threshold? And a combined, coming back to the combined 11, that's an odd, for me, I find that as an odd rattleability threshold level where you're going, no, he's put Ben Davies in there, I can't handle it. Like that, I find that odd to me. But I've literally never experienced the Queen's Park Rangers combined 11 because it would just be the other team. So maybe I would get rattled. I don't know. It's got legs, Flav. So shall we begin?
Yes.
What I do want to talk about after the combined 11 is Spurs, because Spurs will most likely decide the title race. They've got to play all three. And I want to get your thoughts on that. I think Villa have got to play all three as well. Tiny little Villa, barely breathing, hanging by a thread in fourth spot at the moment. I messaged that to Flav after last week.
Yeah.
Wound up a few there as well. And the comments, this is a bit of a reset pod as well, because not much to use from the comments last week because we seem to upset the Liverpool fans. Couple of comments from them I've got. But,
it's not easy. Not a difficult thing to do, is it?
No. Actually, a couple of comments. Let's get that out of the way and then we will get into our combined look. Ginge Tomasi says, the most iconic title win ever. What on earth are you going on about, Jim? I stand by what I'm saying.
What was your point?
I said that. So whoever wins it, aside from the Aguero, like obviously in a moment, and we don't know what the final day is going to be like, but I think it will go to the final day. And I think we may very well have a title race with three teams who can all win it on the final day. That's a very real possibility right now. And if it does, and you've got the guy on the up in terms of Arteta, building something and then falling and falling and then finally jumping those hurdles to beat possibly the best team of all time, hot off a treble, probably on its way to a Champions League final. And you've got Liverpool with Klopp leaving. All three of those contenders, one team going for four in a row, one team trying to say goodbye the right way with their, you know, for Klopp. That is iconic, is it not? Whoever wins it.
Yeah, I can understand why you're excited about it as a fan of football. From my perspective, it's just Man City. Make sure Man City wins it and that's it.
Is it less is it not the most iconic title win if Man City win it?
Yeah, because it'd be four in a row, which hasn't been done. That's correct, isn't it? Yeah, not been, well, certainly not in the Premier League era. You got Liverpool, who...
I don't think it's ever been done, full stop.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the least irritating for me? That's how I look at it, right? So you've got Manchester City, it'll be iconic, like I say, four in a row. Liverpool, I mean, it's going to be bad enough having to suffer the constant fucking news reportage of Klopp leaving. But add to that a Premier League total on top, that'll be awful all summer. We'll have to listen to that shit. And then Arsenal, for personal reasons, is something I could never palate. The only thing that Arsenal could do, the only thing that any Arsenal fan could ever do to me or say to me that would have any impact would be if their team legitimately wins the league. And that's something that, you know, you can't deny as a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Man City all the way. Let's all hold hands and pray that the juggernaut nation state backed Manchester City, who've cheated their way to this position by, breaking and stamping on the foundations and the fabric of our game, win the league for the good of it.
But I think the important word that you're forgetting here is allegedly. That's the important word that you're forgetting here, Flav. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that was? Do you know what that was there, Flav?
Alleged.
Oh, well, that was a little line from The Overlap. And I think I speak for everyone when I say, what really happened on The Overlap last week?
Quite a lot.
Let's start with the important stuff. Harry from Traitors. What's he like?
Lovely.
Lovely bloke.
Really lovely.
Even Chelsea.
I didn't even talk about that. Just talked about the show. I didn't know he was going to be there. I just turned around the corner and he was there. I was like, ah, fuck, my wife loves you. see, I thought, do you want to be kind of cool? And then I thought, I'm like twice his age. I'm just going to speak to him, find out about what actually happens when they record Traitors.
So tell me, what really happens on Traitors?
I'll tell you after, because like there might be people, thousands of people not watching this who don't even know what it is. Anyway.
They do. It's what Traitors is. It's fantastic. It's a great format, Flav. It's a great format.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, he just sort of spoke openly about it. The fact that they only have a couple of hours sleep a night.
Really?
And it's a lot more long-winded than the show, as you can imagine, filming. Anyway, he was very sound geezer, very lovely. And that was fine. That was good. It was nice to meet him and that. But obviously the big one, which I can tell you, if people haven't watched it, the first episode that came out, right at the end, they were talking about financial fair play. And it got into a conversation about the whether or not it's right or wrong that academy or homegrown players should be sold to balance the books. And I was listening to it. and this basically resulted in a back and forth between me and Jamie Carragher.
Yeah. Is that a hectic week, isn't he?
Yeah. But the weird thing is I was saying it's not about right or wrong whether or not a player should be sold. I get it's unethical, but it's basic finances. If you haven't been paid to bring that player into the football club, then obviously he's going to be 100% profit. It isn't about what's right and wrong in the game. It's basic accounting. You haven't paid for that asset. Obviously, it's going to. So, but they're going, but it shouldn't be that way. But what, so you're going to defy basic economics? That's what I was trying. I couldn't get it around my head. But bearing in mind, you're sitting there around you. You're hearing murmurings that kind of agree with whatever Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher are saying, more or less.
Yeah.
And then you've got other people chipping in, going, "No, you're wrong, or you're not understanding it." And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm pretty sure I'm right here. But everyone around me is going, you're wrong.
Oh, my. And then Carragher goes, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then you're getting that reaction. I'm looking at you going,
stop it, Jamie.
This is odd. This is I don't want to make do what the fuck you want, but I was like, this is strange. I'm confused here.
Because I was watching it going, can someone else speak up here? It's like, because...
To be fair, Dan did eventually.
Dan did, and he did brilliantly. And thank God for Dan.
He's amazing. Cheers for Dan. He's amazing, that guy.
The thing I found mad about that was like, I get it. Like, what are you saying? I was going, so were you saying, Jamie, that you shouldn't get 100% profit from your academy?
Penalise players. What is it?
Yeah, exactly. You get 50%.
What?
Exactly. It ain't right. No, that was it. That's what I couldn't understand. This is It's not a get out of jail card. The stockpiling is maybe that's something you could touch on that. We can't go, well, it's not right that they're selling Conor Gallagher. They've got themselves in this situation. But
they have to sell him.
Yeah, they have. They've got to put where they have to sell him. Exactly. And it's like,
they've
brought him up.
Do you want them not to balance the books and just so you don't have to sell academy players, right? Forget the fucking financial rules. Do what you want. As long as academy players can stay at the football club. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
And the longer the time has passed, and I've had tons of people message me going, you were right. Yeah. Which makes it feel better. Because when I was driving home, James, I told this story a couple of times.
And that's why I sent you a voice note, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You did. That was a 4-hour journey. Yeah, but you sent me it would be the next day. I'm driving home, 4-hour journey. Baron, you've got no... your memory does weird things.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, fuck, maybe I was wrong. And that is going to be seen by a million people, me being really wrong.
And you know that's coming. That's coming, right.
Horrible. You know it's coming, right? And you know it's coming. And I'm driving along and I'm thinking, and then fuck it, it was a nightmare drive home. It took me about 6 hours. And I'm like, afterwards, I was just like, I put podcasts on and went and just forgot about it. And then woke up the next morning. I think it came out the next day, I think, pretty much. Yeah. And I watched it back and I went, fuck it, I knew I was right. I didn't have to worry at all. I was right, 100%.
Mate, you were right.
It's a shame you have to do it. Those are the rules.
Yeah, it's a shame you have to do it, but take it out of the context of Chelsea for a second. So make it about Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace have sold all... If they sell these great players that they've brought through by investing in their club and their foundations and their community, they deserve 100% of the fee for it. It's like, it's if you just take it... I get the understanding of like as a broad scale of like, oh, that's a shame. It's a shame that you have to sell Conor Gallagher. But it's because you keep buying everyone else. I just couldn't believe he'd like got away with it.
I found it bad.
But it wasn't that clear. Like even I was even having a conversation with Adam and Rory about it before the club yesterday. And they were like saying, yeah, but no, but it's not right. And I'm like, yeah, but you
stop saying that.
It's the same thing. It's not right or wrong is irrelevant. You haven't had to purchase that youth player for £50 million. And therefore, when you sell him for £70 million, the profit is 20. That's what you can put on your P&L list. Sheet. But if you haven't paid for him, i.e. developed him, all of the money you make from him is profit, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So whether it's a shame or not that you've had to sell that player is fucking irrelevant.
It's so weird.
That's what I was trying to process at the time and hold my own and answer questions.
Yeah, and getting attacked. And people kind of laughing at you a little bit, like unfairly so.
That as well. And what it is there is a lot of... And I understand it, right? I understand it, but obviously you hear Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher's voices constantly. They are the voice of the Premier League for all intents and purposes. Their voices are more recognisable than any commentator, pretty much, any host. They are the voice of it, right? And with that comes with it a lot of influence, but also a lot of influence over the listeners, but also a lot of influence about how the narrative around football and how you think about it,
sure.
Right? So obviously, in that situation with a group of fans watch who you know hang on every word, they do have a lot of influence in the room as well. But it was just in that moment I was just like, I don't understand why this isn't going my way.
Do you know what's heartbreaking as well is it, and everyone has had this, everyone can relate to this, where you've had that altercation and then afterwards you've got all of it, you've got all the receipts, you've got everything you need to say, because all you really needed to say was no Jamie, they didn't need to buy Lavia. If take away Lavia, you don't need to sell Conor Gallagher. Or like, so take away Mudrick, you don't have to sell Conor Gallagher. Like, and or take it out of Chelsea and put it into any other football club. Of course, you get all the profits from the player that you've invested time in.
Mad,
crazy.
I had an accountant actually.
Did they?
These are my qualifications, and I can tell you, as a registered accountant, this was infuriating to watch.
Catherine,
funnily enough, hasn't said a word to me this week.
Really? Quiet, she was, Catherine, want... quiet. She is she here? Is she with us? Catherine,
I'm a Villa fan.
She's there.
Oh, well, I just remember she said she was going to tweet me on full time. I was waiting, but it didn't
get it. Oh, why didn't you?
Something like that.
Disappointing.
What was Emery thinking though? Like, just hands up.
Excited about this combined 11. We'll get there, guys. We'll get there.
Yeah, we will get there. Just quickly, just on Emery, and he's been fantastic this, well, since he joined Villa. Incredible, right? Done amazing stuff. But when it started, I kind of get the idea that he was like player back five or even back five. Yeah, player back five and then hit him on the counter. But the minute it was clear that it wasn't going to work from minute one. And it was almost like you've got the firepower and the player quality to make a difference here. And it just played into our hands. Got it completely wrong. First half was okay. Second half, the best we played this season, probably.
Do you know what was a great example? You know, we said before, I think you had this as a bit of a rant where you were like, you can't talk about refereeing decisions if you support the club. You're not allowed.
Not allowed.
Not the podcast, the club. The actual club in discussion.
I don't want to hear a Villa's fan on whether it's a red card or not.
I honestly, I was on Twitter.
You don't hear mine either.
Right. I started to read Dan Bardell, big Villa fan. I've had him on my pod. Good lad. I started to read a tweet from him saying it's actually not a red card, but and I just stopped reading it.
I know Dan, right? I know him well, and you know, I've been on him a few things. He is one of the best out there. Very, very good, right? It doesn't matter what your opinion is on this, Dan, and any Villa fan or Spurs fan, because despite as much as you try, you cannot remove your bias.
Do you know what's really hard though? Is that if you know, like some people go, like Boovy said, it was a pen. And you can do that when it... So there's the problems, right? The pen for Doku on... who was it? McAllister?
Oh, yeah.
For Man City and Liverpool. As a fan, you've got... You sort of backing... So you serving yourself if it's... You're saying the McGibbon one wasn't a free kick. Or if you go, do you know what? It was a pen, but it wasn't given as a pen. So you still haven't been hurt by it in any way. Both of those kind of like... They make it difficult for you to be provided with credence on it.
James.
It's tough world.
You have no dog in the fight, right? And I'm happy to take what your opinion is. And I don't know what your opinion is. You might have said it previously. Do you think the John McGinn card was a red or a yellow?
I thought in 2024 it was clear red. I thought in... 2010, it wasn't. So yeah, he proper whacked him. It's bad. It's pretty bad.
The problem was, he didn't give himself. McGinn is an incredible footballer, massively underrated. Really, really is underrated, and you can absolutely understand why he's captain of Aston Villa.
Yeah,
nothing about that challenge detracts from his abilities. And even like I would genuinely love to see him at Tottenham. Not that that's going to happen, right? But the problem is in that moment, regardless of whether or not you think it's a red card, he lost his mind because he saw Destiny Adogie drift him to midfield.
Yeah,
he knew he kind of had to take him out. But you can do it in a way that's a little bit cuter than just fucking smashing him.
Yeah, I agree.
And the thing is, if Adogie comes away with that with a fracture. Or it's going, well, it wasn't a red card, but Doggy's out now for 6 months or whatever it is. So you can't go into a challenge that frivolously.
Yeah, I think nowadays you can't munch people, really. Like you can't get away with that. Like, and he was, you know, yeah, he was, his ratability was low. Right, combined 11. Here we go.
Yeah.
First up, and we'll have chats along the way. So get yourself comfortable, guys. And feel free to play along at home, patrons. Alisson, we've got some stats as well here. Alisson with a save percentage of 75%. And his save percentage against his XG is in a good state. It's plus 0.9, if that means anything to anyone. David Raya, save percentage 63%. Bit of a drop off there, minus 2.5 for his PS times XG and XG. And Edison, 69% save percentage. This feels like an easy one. I have Alisson in mine.
I'm going to have Vicario in mine.
Okay. Let me explain it again. I'll explain it one more time. Combined 11, right?
Son get in?
Only... No. It's combined 11. Arsenal, Man City, and Liverpool. Okay. All right?
Shouldn't this be about a combined 11 of title challengers, not just the top three? It doesn't make any sense. It's got to be title challengers. Everyone's got to be in this.
Are you saying... What are you saying?
No, Jim, what am I saying?
I mean, sure. I mean, we were talking about iconic Premier League seasons. If they, imagine if you won it now. Does that honestly? How is your body feeling now when I just said that to you? Imagine if you win it now. You're getting like, vibrations there.
No, no. All I just in response to that, I would say, did we win 8 out of 10 games at the start of the season? Did we?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it now that all the players are back and we're up to speed? Is it an impossibility that we might be able to replicate?
We've done it once already, Flav, actually.
So, I'm not saying it's going to happen, obviously.
Stop that. It was a bit of fun at the start of the season.
Could we? All right. Sorry, let's get back on track because people will be losing their minds. Freeway split. It's Alisson.
The answer's Alisson. The correct answer.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, Alisson.
This is a good one. Who's on the bench? Ray or Edison?
You'd have Edison.
I think you still have Edison. Ray's not there yet. So, do you know what's really interesting? I'm going to literally steal something from my mate Weber, who is a Brentford fan. And he was saying how wild it was that everyone is loving David Raya now because he saved a couple of penalties. And I don't sort of disagree with it, but I did find it interesting.
Keepers get a lot of credit for penalty saves, don't they?
They do. This is their moment. Do you know what's a guarantee if you want to play penalty bingo if Alan Shearer's on the panel is don't change your mind. Don't ever chat. That's the thing that always goes on about. Don't change your mind. Sorry, just a bit also with the Carragher thing, just because it's in my WhatsApp group. Richard Keys weighed in on the Kate Abdo Jamie Carragher thing. I was just like, is that real? That's not really his account. That's really his account. Richard Keys said, have you seen the tweet?
No.
The tweet's fucking brilliant. It's so good. He has to know. I think Kate Abdo is a top pro. I've no idea what Carragher is insinuating, but he crossed the line again. How many more times? The show is like so many more these days. It's a bit too pally. It was an accident waiting to happen. Abdo deserves much better. Wow.
It was a weird one, though. It was so weird.
It was weird. Do you know what someone said, which is interesting, right? And if you watch it back, inclination? What's the right word? This is ironic. How you say it. He said not to Malik, as in not loyal to Malik, but actually he could have well have been saying not to Malik, as in you're not loyal to Malik instead of Manchester United.
But it didn't come across like that.
No, it didn't.
It came across like, I know something you did.
Yeah.
What? That's what. The other thing is that whoever she's doing it with should be very careful because Malik Scott is like a 44-fight veteran heavyweight boxer.
Yeah, you don't take on Malik. Absolutely not. Okay.
It would be well funny if it's Thierry Henry and Malik Scott just batters him.
I mean, that is the easy wonderment that could cross your mind. I mean, I would. Yeah. So my mate Weber said, this is a direct quote, it's funny that it takes the random luck of a penalty shootout for many Arsenal fans to decide that Raya is a good keeper. I think he didn't save a penalty for us in about 5 years. He was at Brentford. In the Championship, he saved 1 from 12 for Blackwell in 2019. In the Premier League, he's got 1 from 7 for Arsenal in 2023. Does that make sense? Yes. So he nearly saved 3 from 4 last night. Didn't. But he said, but it's such an irrelevant part of the role. It's like saying I'm not good enough for my job all year, but I'm really fun at the Christmas party. So give me a promotion based on that. Well, that's quite interesting.
So there's a 70%. 75% conversion rate of penalty free kicks. So 1 in 4 are saved or missed. So he's done just a little bit above average. It should just
above the bare minimum. You know what he's saying?
It would just. He's just a bit better than most players, and it's fine. But it just doesn't change anything. Like David Raya is an excellent goalkeeper. These penalty saves make no difference at all.
I guess it's just a moment, isn't it? So like a line in the sand. So I understand. I understand why people are bothered about it. And it's his moment to give him some flowers, isn't it? I think he has been getting better as he's getting more settled in there. Right back. So we've got Trent, we've got Ben White, and we've got Kyle Walker. Trent, shot creating actions, 5.49. So shot creating actions for all three in order. This is interesting, right? 5.49, then it's 2.28 and 2.31.
So, yeah, but we know why that is, because he's not playing as a right back, is he?
Because Trent's a joke, right, as well, yeah. But then tackle success rate, which is what we always talk about with Trent, his is 29.9%, Ben White's is 48.4%, and Walker's is 46.9%. So, like, massive drop-offs either way. So
all of that makes sense. I think in this combined 11, which probably would be the best side that we've ever seen in the Premier League, I think we'd be all right scoring goals, and that Trent as an inverted fullback would mean we wouldn't have to rely on him in the amount of goals we scored. So I would go with.
Are you bothered about the setup of the team? Are you?
I'm just saying the best in each position. Well, no. Let's not make this more complicated. But I would go with Kyle Walker.
It's going Kyle Walker.
But I think Trent Alexander-Arnold at this stage is just a wonderful, wonderful footballer who you'd want in your team. It's just that the defensive actions of Kyle Walker are perhaps more important in the team that he's going to destroy everybody.
Yeah. Ben Bowman says, "What's Ben White's XFT, expected fake tan? Incredibly high. Per 90, incredibly high. He's got lovely thighs.
I did write Trent down first.
He's got lovely thighs. Lovely smooth thighs. Ben White, if you ever have a look at that. I've Trent. The answer's Trent now. Carl's had his day. The answer's Trent.
Well, I did write Trent down first.
Do you know what happens, I think, in life? Like, depending on the age, I was thinking about this as well in terms of the title race, is like, that are Arsenal still... Are they still just a touch green? Has that banana not truly ripened? Because if you think of all the great Premier League teams, they've all got just like men everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Sort of 27, 28-year-old men. And I wonder. But with that in mind, the evolution of time, Walker's just getting a little bit older. I just want all Trent. Right. The answer's Trent for me. But you've got... Yeah. That's fine. You've gone for him. Right, defenders. Oh, my God. Horrific. Right. Saliba.
It's not horrific, though, because you can't... like I said, you can't get it right or wrong. You just got to have an opinion. So it's not horrific. It's a good position.
Stones, Diaz, Saliba, Gabriel, Virgil van Dijk, Konate. Who isn't it, Flav? Who isn't it, as we tease?
Who's it definitely not? It's not Akanji.
It's not Akanji.
It's not Konate.
It's not Konate. I agree.
Could be. It's not Gabriel, although I know Arsenal fans...
Yeah.
I know they're raving about him, but I can't have two Arsenal in there, and I know one, you know, I can't have two of them.
Saliba's a bit shaky against Porto. Just throwing it out there. I'm just throwing it out there.
Played a lot of games, Jim. Played a lot of games.
I mean, he's awesome. Are we living in a world where Saliba, especially with Gabriel, right? Because if Gabriel is not, you know, not in this one, despite being really good, does that mean, and that's unfair, if that's unfair, is that suggesting that Saliba is overrated somewhat?
I don't think Saliba's overrated at all. I think that probably he gets the plaudits because Saliba was a part of the massive transformation in Arsenal's defensive stability when he came back off loan. And that Gabriel was already there, so he's kind of that. There's an hangover of that era where they were less sound defensively, but them together have been sensational. But you saw it at the tail end last season when Saliba got his injury that Arsenal imploded, and Gabriel was a part of that side, if I remember rightly. So, if you're asking me to pick one, and it can only be one,
it's
Saliba.
So you go Saliba.
Saliba over Gabriel, yeah.
Interesting. Oh, out of those two, right? But yeah, that doesn't mean they're in. That doesn't mean they're in. So, okay. Who's definitely of the two when you go, he has to be in. Who has to be in for you? And then where is Saliba's the debate?
I think Saliba is number one, has to be in there.
See, he's not.
You're not in your two.
this season.
I'm not going to fight to. Yeah, go on.
That's debate, Flav. It's debate. We're making a podcast. Everyone's look at the engagement on the chat. Everyone's having fun.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be the guy that backs and fights for Saliba. I'm just saying that if you don't want him, I'm happily chucking him out.
Well, you've got your team, and I've got mine. For me, and when I've done this, because you look like someone's like. Trent can go inverted. Stones can step into midfield. Those different movements of the like tactics. I'm like, I'm just picking the best team in a 4-3.
You haven't even made a suggestion yet
in a 4-3-3.
Yeah, 4-3-3. That's what I've got.
So in terms of the best, the guarantee for me, especially after this season, is VVD. Virgil van Dijk has to be in 13. Has to be. So the debate for me that I'm having. And I think Diaz has been actually quite average this year, if I'm honest. And actually, at the start of the year, I went on SDS and they went, do your top five. And I had Diaz above Van Dijk because I thought Van Dijk was still slipping. And obviously, these were amazing players. But Van Dijk's absolutely proved me wrong. And he's back. So for me, it's between Stones and Saliba. I don't think Saliba could do Stones' role. I think Stones could go into that Arsenal team and do what he does, I think. Maybe not to exactly the same level, but I think overall Stones is just about better. Different, aren't they? They're different.
I mean, so you're suggesting that there isn't an Arsenal centre-back or even an Arsenal defender, we haven't got a left-back yet, in the team that has the best defence in the league?
I think part of that defensive brilliance is the whole team. I think they press really well. I think they're super well organized out of possession. I think that's a big part of it in terms of even getting it down that end of the pitch. But I think it's one of those where like Saliba's going to get better and better and better and better, and could surpass Stones. Could, and maybe defensively is a touch better. But I'm okay with Stones and Virgil van Dijk, if I'm honest.
Fine.
Yeah, Arsenal fans get annoyed about that. Faux show, but it's my team. Right, DM. So we've got...
What about left back?
Oh, left back. Yeah, sorry. Left back. We've got Robertson, Zinchenko, or Ake. Tomiyasu, if you're trying to be clever.
I would say...
Guardiola, I guess you could chuck in there as well.
That's a lot of money for a player who's just not... He just hasn't had a... What's happened with Guardiola?
I think it's that first season Man City syndrome thing where he's like,
this is why financial fair play is
so important. He's not ready.
This is why financial fair play is so important. And the increase in the revenue is frustrating because Man City can't keep making that mistake if the financial fair play rules have teeth. Mm. You shouldn't be, there should be no world where £100 million Jack Grealish is. And £80 million Guardiola just sit on the bench because they're not ready.
But I think the thing with Man City is that if you think of the players that they've bought, they're not buying lots all the time. Like if you get it right and they're there for 10 years, then you just buy one. You buy one.
Right. No. And they have done that really well and they are managing their finances. Don't get me wrong. Now. But the fact that Guardiola, that they can just go, yeah, no, he's not ready. You spent £80 million on him. Everywhere else, it'd be the worst signing of the season. Flop. We paid £80 million. He's played 10 games or whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's true.
But Man City or Grealish, worst £100 million you could possibly spend. Because Pep Guardiola goes, he needs to work harder. It's not a flop. He's just not doing exactly what Pep says. No one else gets that grace.
Yeah, he's got lucky there. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Anyway,
people in the chat are talking about Joe Gomez. Right. This Joe Gomez, right. People, I was talking about England yesterday. Liverpool, this is a bit like, and Catherine, you'll be delighted to hear this. Liverpool fans, all of you, and I know this is dangerous to what I'm doing, but I don't care. All of you said he was trash. All of you wanted him out the door. All of you thought he was crap. You all thought it. And I'm sure like the chat's going to come alive here. You all thought it, right? And he wasn't that bad. He just hadn't been playing enough and he was struggling with his confidence a little bit, right? He is now playing far, far better. He's of use. He's great. He's doing well. But he is now not Roberto Carlos, and he's not Trent, and he's none of those players either. He's a solid player who does a diligent job, who's all right defensively, who's just about okay on the ball. He's good. He's great. He's solid. He's not, it's like, outrageously good player now. Okay, he's not better than Chilwell. He's not better than Luke Shaw, Joe Gomez. He's not better than Luke Shaw. And in this combined 11, he's not better than Robertson. He's just unfortunate at the moment. Or Ake. Or probably Zinchenko. Zinchenko, definitely. Like, I'm not trying to dig him out. I'm not trying to dig out Joe Gomez. He's great. But like, he's Ben Davies. He's Ben Davies. He's a good player who's great for the squad. You can play him in different positions. But stop saying that he's like the next coming of Christ. He's not.
Yeah, no one's keeping Joe Gomez if you have the option of if Andy Robertson is fit, or if Ake, you had the option to sign Ake. Joe Gomez doesn't come into the question. Let's just pick Ake then. We know it's him.
Oh, I think it's Robbo. I'd say that's an out and out left back. I'd pick
really.
Robbo. Yeah, I just think he's unfortunate that the way football is at the moment, people don't want a left back at left back. He's still the best left back, in my opinion. But you've gone with Ake. That's fine.
Well, we can go with Robinson.
No. Again, it's your team and it's my team.
Right, we're not trying to do a combined 11.
No. A singular combined 11.
Right.
You went Saliba, didn't you? Let me just jot this down. You went with
I got
Walker.
Trent, Van Dijk.
Lots of difference here. We've only got two similarities. DM. We've got Endo, Declan Rice, Rodri, unless you want to put Declan Rice as a centre midfielder.
I don't want to put Rice anywhere, but if I'm forced to in this... You've got to have Rodri and Rice in the team.
I agree.
So, Rodri's probably the best six in the world, maybe?
Yeah.
And you can't not have Declan Rice in there. So, that would be my first two picks.
I agree. So, I don't want to miss him.
Could walk in.
People are going to say, yeah, but Endo's been great. He has been great. He's not Rodri. Come on.
It doesn't matter whether he's been great. All right, yeah, given his recognition, he has been great. Would you have him over Rodri? No, then this discussion finished.
Yeah. If you don't, I know I'm getting a bit aggressive here, but if you don't have a calm decision, fuck off to Twitter. Right? This is a different place. Okay.
Yep. So we both agree with Rodri and Rice.
Rodri and Rice in attacking midfield then. Lots of options. Okay. So third spot. I'm going to chuck all these names out there. McAllister, Havertz, Bernardo Silva, Szoboszlai, Odegaard, KDB, Foden. If you want to put him in as a midfielder, I got mine in. I don't know.
One, but
this is where it gets horrible. There's someone's got to miss out. Obviously. That's the whole point.
Is there a world where you drop Rod Rice and have Foden in midfield?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, that could be your world. Yeah, that could be your world.
That's not a world you're willing to live in, though.
I don't think that's a fair world. I was thinking about it the other day. I think Declan Rice should probably be the player of this season, this year. If he carries on with what he's been doing, I think he's been unbelievable. I think he's so important, and I think he's going to affect some really big games as the season continues. And I think he's taking the team forward. So I think Rice has to be in there. I think with Foden, he's gorgeous. Like, he's just so fun to watch. He's absolutely electric. But in this midfield, the answer is KDB for me. Like, it has to be.
That's what I've got written down.
The thing obviously Foden killed it in the Manchester derby, and so understandably everyone's going to talk about it. And Guardiola, plays his little games and goes, I think he's the best player in the Prem, which allows everyone to have that conversation for the whole week. You think he's the best player in the Prem
currently? Currently, yeah, or in form, yeah. He's unreal.
He didn't do much last week.
James Alcock, Foden is shit.
KDB has been, I think, between now and the end of the season, I expect KDB to make more assists, win more games, and he will make his way back to the top of the mountain, I would guess. He has been their best player this season. I don't think he's been the best player in the Premier League this season. Like, his stats are fine. Like, they're not outrageous.
All right, De Bruyne.
So I would go De Bruyne. But I need to get Foden in here somewhere.
Well, you could put Foden in front three.
Well, okay. The left-hand side's a problem. So on the right-hand side, well, actually, right-hand side and left-hand side. In the middle, Haaland, right?
Yeah.
Easy. Darwin Nunez. It's great fun. But he's not in this team. So on the right, we've got Salah and Saka. Now, on Saturday Social, cheated a little bit and they put Saka on the left-hand side. I don't think we should allow that. I think you need to pick one.
No, that is cheating. He's never played that. He put Salah on the right-hand side.
They put Saka, sorry, on the left-hand side.
Yeah. What? He plays on the right. Yeah, yeah. So, no, you're right. Sorry, my bad. I'm looking at it like this.
Right, Ollie Sage. This seems like a very one-sided team here. No. That's not true. He's got his own 11 and I've got my own 11. Okay? Listen.
Yeah, listen. Independent of each other.
Sage.
Is this because he just wants, as a Liverpool fan, wants to see more Liverpool players in there? Yeah, is that what the problem is?
Yeah.
You got Van Dijk? What are you worried about? You got a goalkeeper?
I've got four Liverpool. About to be five. Salah in ahead of Saka for me.
Yes.
Thought about it. Did think about it. I joined late. Right. Wow.
I don't know. Yeah. There's not much between them, which just shows you how good fucking Saka is. All right, I'm going to go Salah on the right as well.
Okay, Haaland in the middle. And this is the problem. This is really difficult. So Foden has played one or two games on the left-hand side. So if we want to do that and cram him in there, the options on the left-hand side are Doku.
No.
Martinelli. Jota. Alvarez, because he played there last week. I'll leave it to the chat. Is Foden up for discussion on the left-hand side? Yes or no?
I think, Bob, if you're going to be really strict with the Saka not being able to play on level wing, then can you just chuck Foden in there because you want him in? Because that's kind of the same principle, isn't it?
Oh, my God! What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're saying yes. That's a good point. They're saying yes.
I wish Guardiola would use him on the left a bit more. I thought he should have done that last week. I didn't really get it.
Make this a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Played there a lot last season. Well, so look, lots of yeses there. There we go. Happy days.
All right, we're going to go Foden. Brilliant.
Foden result. Well, Foden or Martinelli then?
Foden. If you have the choice out of two.
In terms of...
So how many Arsenal have you got in there?
How many
Arsenal? One, two, three. I've got three. All right, so my team is Alisson, Walker, Van Dijk, Saliba, Ake, Rodri, Rice, De Bruyne, Salah, Haaland and Foden.
My team is Alisson, Trent, Stones, Virgil van Dijk, Robbo, Rodri, KDB, Rice, Salah, Haaland and Foden. So I've got, I've only got one Arsenal player. Oh dear.
Go down well, Jim. Can you do a graphic and share it on socials, yeah?
Yeah, maybe leave that then, actually. Whoops. Well, there you have it. I enjoyed that. That was all right. No? Did we enjoy that?
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine in these instances.
Do you know what I say? Do you know what I found interesting?
Who's the manager? Casey just says, who is the manager? That's good.
Oh, Gary Neville. Do you know the docu penalty when he sees it the second time? Oh, no. I think he's going to give him that one.
I would say probably go Klopp.
Luke says Flav is dead inside right now. It's all right. It's okay. Are you giving it to Pep, isn't it? Pep, you give it to Pep.
Klopp.
Who's been the best manager this season?
Arsenal top, aren't they? You got best goal difference, most goals scored, least conceded. And they're top of the league. Well, it's not a conversation, is it?
I think Arteta's coached the best this year.
You cannot.
Well, the Klopp's done.
You cannot take so much. You can't look at statistics and spend so much time with them, and then not put everything into the league table as it stands right now. I know it's not XG. I know it's not pre assists. I know that all these sort of tangibles are intangibles that you can apply to anything that your agenda suits. Not you, Jim. I'm just talking about generally. Yeah. The league table says who scored the most goals, who's conceded the least, who has the most points at this stage, and Arsenal win on all three. So therefore, it has to be Arteta.
Based on this season, Arteta is the manager of this team. I think, like, especially in those big games as well, in terms of finding a way, I've been so impressed with him. I think what Klopp's done, or what Klopp has at his disposal, is just great. So many different profiles that are all like bought in. And so he's able to change it up. So he's got so much more to use than Arsenal have in terms of like attacking options to change the game, I think. And so for Arteta to do what he's done is pretty bloody impressive.
If you're going to win the league, Jim?
I do think that Porto, I thought the Pens was a moment. I do think that. I think it's going to go with the last day. I really do.
I think they're going to win it. I don't know how much of it is my trepidation that's talking yet.
I'm going to do a video like breaking down it all. So I'm not going to give my final answer on it. But I do think where I was with Arsenal are starting to convince me a little bit. Can we talk about Spurs affecting the title race?
Yeah.
So you've got to play all three of them.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll play them, but will you win? In terms of those three games, well, first of all, how's it going at Tottenham? Apart from Ange just being a delight again,
it's mental. You win two games on the bounce, and the entire narrative around your football club changes. Like from a Spurs fan. And I guess everybody, this is always going to be the way, because not all pundits and not all journalists and writers of your football club, they're not as invested as a fan is in their respective clubs. Mm. So they do, to some degree, have to ride the wave of results. But they don't tell you everything. We as Spurs fans, understood that there was a process ongoing, that the injuries had a massive impact mid-season, and the victories we were getting at home they counted, but the performances weren't as good as they were at the start of the season, because very good managers figured out actually, this is the best way to play against Postecoglou's team, which is kind of what Villa tried to do, which is the low block counter. But yeah, we win two games, have that amazing second half against Aston Villa, and people are saying, actually saying, there was a conversation, they won't, but could they win the league? That was even on, I think it was on Sky the other day, they were talking about it.
Well, Flav, I mean, you've still got to play Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal, which is 9 points, isn't it?
Well, you win them with a game to land.
That'll help. Well, hang on a minute, that's 12 points. So you've caught everyone up now. Now everyone's starting to get a little bit nervous, and all of a sudden, could they?
Yeah, I mean, no, they can't. but will we have an impact on where the title goes? Then, you know, obviously we're playing them all. If you said to me right now, look, it happened last season in that we lost to Arsenal and then beat City, if you remember correctly. Was it last season? They beat us at home and then we managed to get a result against City, or maybe we drew.
I can't remember.
No, we beat them. We beat them 1-0. So like, that's a nightmare situation, that we lose to Arsenal and beat Liverpool and Manchester City. But we've got our own shit going on. We want to finish in the Champions League. You certainly want to finish at least fifth, because that might guarantee Champions League football. So
fourth is obviously there for you now. Everything, you know, being Villa. Yeah, I thought Villa would do you at the weekend. So I was surprised.
It just shows how much you know, doesn't it? Liverpool. Ollie Sex says Liverpool will beat Spurs at home. Mate, we've won there once in your lifetime. That's not a statement you need to make. Obviously, going to Anfield as a Spurs fan is likely to be very, very difficult. That's the one. But at home, it's much more significant. Arsenal, despite beating us last year, found it difficult to win at White Hart Lane. And Manchester City, the same. Even the 1-0 win there in the FA Cup this season wasn't as convincing as you might expect a Manchester City win to be. It depends on whether or not that performance against Villa in that second half specifically, but even the first half, if that is what we are and where we are at right now, and it wasn't just a peak in performance and form. A lot went into it, of course.
Playing 10 men as well.
I was going to say is the red card has a huge impact on that. It's a lot easier to play against 10 men who are trying to get something from the game, makes spaces much more easier. But I've seen enough this season in Spurs to have a massive impact, and I think we will get results against one of those teams.
Come on,
we'll get a result against one of those teams, and I think we'll beat Arsenal at home.
Because, I mean, yeah, get your bogeys out. Arsenal and Man City, like you said, that's not easy. Neither of them like playing against you. Look, out of those three, in terms of sort of style of play and the first game against each of them, which team sort of were a bit too much? You know, how do you find your chances against those basically on, you know, on a performance level as opposed to like being at Anfield, yeah, or being at White Hart Lane?
In terms of the most difficult game, it's definitely Liverpool away because of Anfield and all the shit that goes on there and the Klopp and stuff. Mm. In terms of the style of play, all of them suit Spurs. Like, if you're going to look to three games of football for a neutral, and I thought Villa were going to do this as well because of, you know, but they didn't. They decided to go five at the back. But there's no way that Arteta is going to renege on what's been so successful this season. Nor will Pep and nor will Klopp. So I'm not saying I will have to, that Spurs have a great chance of winning those games. But in seeing the best parts of Tottenham, the irony is that those teams will bring it out of them, because it's going to be open. There's going to be opportunities. Maybe less so against Arsenal because they're so defensively sound. But I think probably, it's weird to say, but Man City at home is probably the most winnable.
That's wild.
So he's mad. That's crazy. But then the North London derby is, and it's all in April, right? It's like that's three games on the bounce. The North London derby is it throws up some mental results, and like you say, and it's a horrible cliche, but the form kind of does go out the window, right? So
I think you're right. I feel like just the Spurs Man City game. I wonder how rocking it will be, like, because you're kind of wanting Man City to win that one in a weird way. But I guess you'll still be going for what you're going for, so people are chilled. It'll be fine.
No. The atmosphere will be good, and it won't be regardless of what Arsenal are doing. No one's going to sit there thinking, I want to lose this game. It's kind of them when, like, if we do, oh, well.
Yeah.
But you're going to want to win. And then
You'll play.
Yeah, absolutely. I will play.
Oh, yeah. 20th of April, 27th of April, 4th of May. Bang, 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 bang. We're going to be talking about Spurs a lot.
I think they will be, Ollie. I think they will. He's just saying, I can't believe they're not on UK TV. All of those will probably be moved, right?
Yeah.
You'd imagine.
Oh, no. That's going to be on my birthday. That's annoying.
Do you know what we talked about with that Villa and Spurs game? Was like, it was a bit like, you know, some of us might frequent some adult websites, porn websites.
Right. Thanks for clearing it up.
Yeah. and it was like in ones where, you know, for some reason, the lady is inexplicably stuck in a washing machine.
I actually was not aware of that.
Or under a bed or something.
Right. What? Sorry. And, where are you going with this?
And Villa's football game. Saying, I'm stuck in the washing machine. Help me! Help me! And Spurs have just walked up and went, no, Villa. I don't think I will help you. Not in the way you think, anyway.
Quick question for Gaffrin in the chat. Out of you having to play all three of them. What do you believe is the point, you know, the games that you'll get the points in? Let's have a quick look at Villa. Because and are you tensing up a bit? Are the injuries starting to hurt you? Is Douglas Luiz playing a little bit deeper than you want him to? I want Villa to get in the Champions League. Because I got a bit annoyed this week with everyone going, everyone's going, that's what you want in it, the Champions League. You just want the big teams in the top. It's like, what the fuck are we like? Get your head out your arse. Like everyone's sleepwalking to a Super League. It's a different podcast at a different time. So I would love to see Villa get in the Champions League by hook or by crook. But you've got to play Man City on the 3rd of April.
Isn't the coefficient looking quite favourable to English clubs now? Again?
With Arsenal doing well, yeah. I think it helps them. But like, again, hooray, the fifth team gets in the Champions League. And I get it from like, you know, Catherine's point of view or your point of view. But broadly, that's a joke. That's stupid. Champions League, you've got fifth getting into the Champions League. Well, what is this competition? It's a nonsense.
Well, talk to UEFA. Don't blame little old Tottenham.
But you shouldn't want it. You should want fourth and fourth only, so you'd get in there on real valid reasons instead of... it's a form of doping. It's a league doping that's going on here. So it's not actually a real achievement. Bloody UEFA Cup. You wouldn't get a UEFA Cup back in the day. Anyway.
Take it, though.
Liverpool second to last game for Villa. Woo! Woo! Catherine doesn't care. Thank you, Catherine. Thanks for that. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, well, I guess we'll move on. Also got Chelsea in there as well. Tough run for Villa. Look at that. Brighton, Palace. Don't worry about that. Bournemouth, who will not be stopped. Luton. That was another one in my the WhatsApp groups. It's like, I just and that's why I always bet Luton. You know, I always thought Luton had a chance because it's not a bad. Oh, what's the score? Oh, sorry, I thought they were 4-3. Boo! Everyone on Twitter, and that's why I always believe because people don't see the game the way. Oh, letting four. Wait. poor old Luton. It is one of those ones that as soon as they lose that, you go, oh.
Yeah.
Last week I asked you, there were a couple of times where I wasn't listening, which seemed to be a sort of controversial moment in the podcast that then seemed to wind people up a little bit. One was when you were talking about Trent and obviously the 4-0 against Barcelona. And it sounded like I couldn't remember that game, which was...
What happens is you start reading the you'll start reading the comments and then I can tell you've gone and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, so I missed that bit, so sorry. And the other bit that S. Winter got it right, I don't remember hearing this, but apparently you said it. Is it true they've won 8 of the last 7 titles, Man City? Jim not listening. Yeah, that sounds about right.
how many have they won? 5. How many have Man City won?
Everyone, I don't know. I don't care. Loads. All of them. They've won four of the last five, I think. They have to, because Liverpool are the only guys that won otherwise. And they probably won a few before that. I should know it, but I don't. But certainly, what, you haven't won eight. You haven't won eight of the last seven.
Nine league titles in their history.
Right. All in the last 5 years. Wow. Ollie Sage said, the reason people think Liverpool have to win this game is because history tells us City won't drop many, if any, points the rest of the season. He's called it now. So if Liverpool want that belief and energy for the rest of the season, they have to win it for themselves more than anyone else. They didn't win it, Ollie. So is that it then? It's over? Let us know. S. Winter, again, said, Jim, you are so wrong. City don't drop points at this stage of the season. They never have.
They never have. I mean, they have.
Music Nerd. Jim clearly is going with this Liverpool take for the season, but I don't think you can dismiss Arsenal's form. Yes, they are the lesser sides. But we are slapping teams with ease. You can never get praise for beating the teams that you should. But still, I agree that this Liverpool City game doesn't decide the league, really. I think Arsenal versus City is the real one, purely because the result means more to each team. This means more to Man City and Arsenal. All of a sudden. Incredible. And Gerge says, if Arsenal win the league, James will have to admit that they're the best team that's ever existed, seeing as it never even entered his mind as a possibility when coming up against teams he makes sound absolutely unsurpassable. He's blinded by this tired narrative of they've done it before when it comes to City and Liverpool. There was once a time they hadn't done it before in the not too distant past. So why is it so unthinkable that Arsenal could? If they topple both of these teams, if they topple both of these teams that James sees as clear favourites, not so bad, who he clearly has a lot of respect and admiration for, mostly Liverpool and Klopp, what does that make Arsenal? It would make them Premier League champions. Okay. I just thought it was important to hear both sides of the comments. All right. So important thing is, we all know nothing. This is really interesting. So remember last week we had the point system?
Yeah.
So there was a point system for cups. So there was this idea that a league or a Champions League is 5 points, a Europa League is 3 points, an FA Cup is 2 points, and a League Cup is 1 point. And I then said, could someone sort that out for me? And let's have a look and find out who is the best Premier League manager of all time. Now, we've not got other domestic leagues in this list, but it is pretty interesting. Hopefully you can see it. Can I zoom in? I can't seem to zoom in. That's a shame. Hang on, let me try. Oh, we can. Okay, there we go. So you'll see it on the stream in a second, Flav.
Right.
What? Oh, it'll come up. Have you got the stream with you?
I've got the YouTube video, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it'll come up in a sec.
All right.
Okay, actually, I'll just give it to you. Here you go. Bosh. So what is quite interesting about this? I mean, this is a bit of a random list that was done for us. Massive thank you. I think it was Devil's Fire. I might be getting that wrong. Forgive me. I have. But according to this, and Champions League really helping here and benefiting Carlo Ancelotti. Carlo Ancelotti is currently a better manager than Jurgen Klopp. Do you agree with that?
No. I maybe there's a recency bias and maybe I'm incorrect, but I wouldn't agree with that.
Carlo Ancelotti has a score of, he's got a score of 27.
And what's that based on?
The old four Champions Leagues gets him 20 points. He's got himself a Premier League, 5 points for that.
That is quite good, isn't it? Four, isn't it?
That will help, yeah.
Clubs of a dream of.
2 points for an FA Cup. It's stuck in there as well. Jurgen Klopp currently with just a measly 14 points. Really being undone by the FA Cups. And the, you know, the Community Shield not really being anything. No points for him at all. Arsene Wenger has 29 points. Jose Mourinho has 37 points. Pep Guardiola has 48 points. But as much as Pep Guardiola has done, he has 48 points. Alex Ferguson has 89 points. So right, he's still clear, isn't he?
Well, there needs to be another metric. It's like pro rata. There needs to be a pro rata metric because he's had. But Alex Ferguson was. How long was he in the job? 20. How many years was he managed?
You know, yeah, that's true. Yeah, like I don't know, felt like 25. Well, 1986. When did he go? 2013.
loads of years.
Right. So yeah. I mean, he did at what point in his tenureship at Man United did he reach 48 points? But I love that though, because that really does take the emotion away from it. But it doesn't take into account the magnitude of the win, right? Because Klopp, Guardiola had lots of advantages that Klopp didn't have, more money to spend. So is there additional value in how they won that title? But then consistently winning it over 4 years, if he does it this time,
I think
that in itself is an incredible feat.
The thing but without emotion, sorry, yeah. you go.
So without emotion is a good. This is a good good league table. So it puts Klopp about fifth best, sixth.
Currently, Rafael Benitez just 1 point behind him. Dalglish just 4 points behind him. Currently. I think the thing for me, obviously, like you say, this takes the emotion out of it. I think there's a tab missing for other leagues, and I think that's an interesting one in terms of points per season is also a good one, because I think obviously Pep, you would imagine, would destroy Fergie when it comes to that.
Points per spend as well. If you're going to get to a point, get to something like points per spend.
Net spend. I think that's the thing with Klopp for me that will always make this a good, solid conversation is where he took Liverpool from to the consistency of where they went. That's the difference. Like Man City were always up there, had been up there for several seasons. I'm going to stop streaming this thing for a second. And Klopp wasn't. And that's the bloody difference. But points, what, you know, if it's all about trophies, then that's that. Fergie's still numero uno. We'll finish off with... Oh, we were going to talk about Eddie Howe. Do you want any thoughts on that, just quickly?
I think his time is limited.
Will he make August?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think so. I think they're going to be moving towards. He's gone backwards this year. I know there's injuries, and know there are mitigating circumstances, and there are reasons. All of those things are the same essentially, but to be 10th. At this stage, nowhere near Champions League football, having finished, was it third they finished? Is that right? I remember fourth. That's a massive step backwards, huge step backwards. So it's probably time to try something else. What do you think? Should he be given another season?
So Jonathan Cowan says it's pretty much been confirmed by the board that he'll be in charge next season. By the way, if you want to become a patron, there's a link in the description. Join us for mailbags and obviously the live podcast every week. So apparently that's the case. I think it's harsh. I still think it's harsh. I think obviously it's clearly petered out this year. I think the thing is, do you want to roll the dice and give someone a whole preseason, and that initial spurt of energy that you get at the start of a season, or do you roll the dice with Eddie Howe in the sense of giving him preseason, let people get fit. Obviously, the players know him, and if the players still bought into him, give them that chance with the best team that they've got. I think the confidence level of a lot of the players there, like Sven Botman and Shaar, have been awful recently. I think there's something in the situation and the grind of the season getting to them. That's why I said that at the start of the year, and I thought that may come to be. Not as bad as this.
They've had to rely on a 17-year-old for major parts of the important aspect, for important parts of this season. And that's pretty much unprecedented for a team that, you know, as big as Newcastle have to, and not to say that he hasn't done well, he's done incredibly well, but that there have been a lot of injury crisis in the league this year, but Newcastle's probably, or among the worst.
If it was me, I always say this phrase, like, you've got to back the man, or you've got to kind of... back yourself, right? And say, like with Ainsworth, like, I wanted to back the man, but you, like, at some point you're like, no, this is nowhere near good enough. Eddie Howe, I think you can back the man here. I would like to see him given that opportunity. And I think if you get to October and it's not great, then you go, look, Eddie, I've given you a chance here. Because you, really, the decisions you're making in terms of players that you're bringing in and stuff like that, that shouldn't even really be defined by Eddie Howe. It should be defined by the sporting director, whoever that new person will be. So the head coach should be a lot more kind of replaceable. And therefore, with that same thing in mind, if they've been unlucky, which I think is a really interesting thing that they talk about at Brentford, I can't remember his name now, but they would say at the end of a season, they'll have a conversation and they'll go, okay, what, you finished 14th. Do you think you were the 14th best team in the league? Because a lot of these metrics and sort of the bad luck, say, let's talk about Brentford, the bad luck that they've had in terms of their injuries would suggest that, do you know what, we finished 16th, but we've had all these problems. I think actually we've got a squad that's capable of being 15th, but we can see there that we were unlucky in these games. We can see that Rico Henry, Ethan Pinnock, Ivan Toney, numerous players have not been available for large parts of the season. So let's not be stupid here. You're a good manager who understands the club and the players have bought into you. Let's stick with you. So I think you can transfer that across to Newcastle.
You might be right there, Jim. I think you've convinced me. Also, you've got Jonathan Cowan in the comments, who's clearly a Newcastle fan, and he's well behind him. He says my rattle ability on this topic is high. It's the second year of the takeover. I can't do this anymore. He has so much credit in the bank. The dressing room are obviously behind him. It's blatantly obvious here. So look, I mean, if he says it, then fucking look. I really don't give a shit what happens at Newcastle. But if you're telling me that that is the case, then maybe you're right. And what you all the points you just made there, Jim, make complete sense. It's always the easiest thing to get rid of a manager. One bad season doesn't necessarily define how good a manager is or his abilities to make that club successful. And like you said, this had so many injury problems and players dropping off and Trippier's form has dropped off a cliff to some degree. So, yeah, let's just give him another go. What's the alternative? Bringing Antonio Conte? That's going to last 18 months and you're going to be in hell again.
Well, that's it. And I think there can be, it can be a really powerful move in the sense that, like, say Arteta got backing. So the players then go, oh, well, he's sticking around. Well, better get my arse in gear. And it comes. And I think that's what I would like to say because I believe that Eddie Howe is a really, really good manager. And I think most people will have seen that and said that. So to not believe it now seems a bit wildly short-sighted. Like, just like, what, you know, the season is this season. Like, say, put it to you. Say Postecoglou, right? All that is injuries hit, like they did. You know, Son missing, Saar missing, all those things, right?
For tournaments. Yeah.
Say that had happened and you'd fallen off a cliff a bit and you're in 10th right now. Would you?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, of course. I'd look to the positives and look that there's a clear, it's clear that we're moving in the right direction, but these forces about outside of his control have impacted how effective we've been on the pitch, but you can see what's happening, right? It's the same with when Arteta finished eighth in his first full season. They could see the progress, so there you back it. Whereas the difference between that and, say, Ten Hag is it's difficult to see where the progress is being made. So that's two. Do you know what I mean? So the position really doesn't matter. It's, can you see development? Can you see a plan? And is it going ahead? And if it is, then you state what's the point? So I'm contradicting myself, but I think.
But I think I think that's interesting because there's both sides on it, right? So, like, say with Eddie Howe, right? I actually think, and I think it's a similar thing with, say, someone like Gareth Southgate, in the sense that they're introverted. I think they're quite introverted people, kind of outwardly to the media. They're quite sort of not timid, but like there's this little touch of shyness maybe to them, right? And so with that, I think that will infuriate the fans that don't connect with you quicker and more aggressively because they sort of don't bite back. But overall, I think it can save you because you don't kind of crucify yourself by saying something stupid. And I think that's the thing with Eddie Howe. That could save him a little bit, but I think he's also going to maybe make it gently become more and more divisive when it comes to Newcastle and, sorry, Newcastle fans that want him out and Newcastle fans that want him in.
Agreed.
We've done 1 hour 20. I'm just going to literally run through then 1 week bans. And then we'll be on our way. Quads and power moves. There were some disgusting ones. We spoke about it last week and got affected by loss of revenue. Due to talking about that's what I'm going to talk about, and talking about anyway, we asked for a power move in a And Salvation said, power play in the way.
What's happening?
You're right. I got demonetized for the pod because we started talking about...
Yeah. How do you know specifically that?
I mean, more than anything else. Had to be that.
Okay. All right. So I appreciate that.
That was my door for anyone's concern. It's not yours. But anyway, power play in the way. You say to you say to someone, and this is the only one I could actually pop in there. Actually, there's two. So one, Fev says, slapping the other bloke's bum. It's a good shout. It's a bit good, clean fun there. the one that just blew my mind, which I give the other guy's member a little stroke just so he knows you're the dominant male in the situation. Right. Okay. And he would, with eye contact, importantly, he said, not sure about that one.
I think that's just like, that's something else.
That's something different.
Entirely. Yeah.
And, which is fine. Somebody just said, say to one of the other ones, you can take the back door. Sorry, I can't say it. You can take the back door, champ. Mine won't fit.
Very good.
That was too funny not to say. All right, quickfire 1 week bans. Here we go. Andy Castle, AJ3. So Steve McManaman pronouncing 99% of sentences in a Scouse accent, then the final word like the Queen.
That's quite good. I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, you will now. Oh, I noticed it straight after. It's like that is very, it's impressive. Gaz is sick of the word aura. Harlan's cousin said, referees, let's try a game week with no referees like we used to do it in the schoolyard. Home team captain brings a ball and has the final say on what's what, but of course has to stay fair the way it's supposed to be played before this VAR bull. Very good.
Yeah.
Will King, when people bring up talent ID when speaking about a transfer or a player, yeah, that is a bit
what's that mean? I don't know what that means.
Just really happy with the talent ID that we've got here at the club right now. Chris said, any sentence with all four of these words in any order? Title, heating, race up.
Champion. Football Manager has a lot that it needs to be accountable for. You know, you play a couple of seasons playing Championship Manager and then you're like fucking expert about fucking everything. Talking about things that you don't have to prove.
Yeah. On Twitter in particular, it's like everyone's turned into Pep. It's like, have an opinion. Like, I get it. But this sort of like, well, actually, this, it's like, it's just heavy, man. It's like, just slow down.
You know, but the problem is when you realize that everybody is doing it, when you're doing it, it doesn't have any impact.
Yeah.
Like, do you know part of the reason?
I've got a question to finish on here that someone said to me, and I think it's really interesting. I'd love to hear your take on it. But you just say what you want to say, and then we'll finish on that. Go on.
Well, I just think part of the reason why Gary Neville became so popular so quickly is he talked about football like a normal human being as a pundit right at the beginning. I don't know what he is now, but do you know what I mean? It was like, it was refreshing. And now there's experts everywhere, and mainly they're on Twitter or on podcasts. And it's just exhausting. I was like, oh, we've got this player, we bought him, and he's X, Y, and Z. And you're like, see, I've got to take your word for that.
See, I think I'm doing that, but I'm also, I think I'm of the understanding that like football makes hypocrites of us all. We all get it wrong all the time. And it's this sort of like this oracle shit. It's a little bit too much. It's got a little bit too much recently. Final question to you. Here we go. Someone said this to me on Twitter. Forgive me. I can't remember who exactly it was, but great question. Would football be better, like overall, like obviously there's not a blanket answer, but percentage wise, and let us know in the chat as well, would football be better overall if we didn't have Twitter?
Yeah, hands down, without question. The world would be better without Twitter.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's a fucking cesspit. It shows the very worst elements of human beings.
Has it, as much as that occurs all the time, has it also...
Yeah.
Does it also showcase other opinions? Do you know what I mean?
Do you think the world needs more opinions, James? Do you think that's what it... We need less opinion.
Well, I wonder if... Say you're getting a bit like a bowling alley, right? So you've got the right wing and the left wing, okay? And I'm just Jim. I'm just Jim, right? I'm like, that sounds like a good point. And that sounds like a good point. And I'm just getting banged around side by side. I'm hoping that at the end, you kind of get to a point where, like, you know, you're in the middle.
You can on a podcast, or you can in a conversation, you can in a pub, but Twitter, you cannot. It's not designed for that. When did you ever see, when do you ever see people back down on Twitter? Like, it gets to the point where they're like, well, if I can't win here, I'm going to just insult you. Or it's like there isn't going, oh, do you know what? I haven't thought of it like that. No, you're right. It's not, Twitter isn't for that. It's not for back and forth. It's a one way and you move on. And bearing in mind, people having constant having conversations about various different topics. They don't have the time or to think about things on a nuanced level. Some people do, but the vast majority, you'd imagine, just bouncing around arguments on Twitter. So they'll just say, all right, fuck, that's annoyed me. I'm going to say something that's going to annoy them. Bosh, that's that done. Next person, next argument. And then in football, you're doing that with about 15 different things as well. And it's even worse for you, Jim, because people are directly sending you their opinions all the time, even if you ask for them or not.
Do you know what, though? The one thing I'll say, so I sat down with Rory for the pod, and he said, I saw your tweet about questions for, you know, about the title race. And he said, and I was reading it, and it was sort of, people were really, they'd thought it through, and then they said really great questions. And I was like, yeah, you went, does that happen a lot for you? And I was like, yeah, I mean, generally, if I like, that's why I use, you know, often use Twitter, because I can get more interesting, you know, good opinion. That's kind of how I use Twitter generally, is to ask a question and hopefully get a considered response back. And he's like, oh, right. Oh, it's like, wow. It's obviously a different experience for him.
Does Rory not get that, though? Yeah, different energy. Yeah.
I think he just gets like, he just gets a different energy. That's true.
Thomas
says, Twitter can be awful, but if we didn't have it to talk generally to nice people about football, then where else would we with such ease? That's a good point. Harry Adderley says, Twitter brings people together. And Luke says he's been off Twitter for about 6 months and I don't miss it in the slightest. Interesting. Okay. Enjoyed that. I hope you did too. If you want to spend a bit more time with us, then get on Patreon and join the lads. Have a great weekend. Come on, Queen's Park Rangers.
What have you lost in here? Middlesbrough.
Yeah, a bit tired. Could have gone a different way. We still believe in the boys, and I hope it all comes back together. But as you say, two results one way, and then two results the other way, and obviously I'm going to be back in the doldrums. So come on, Rangers.
It'd be fun.
Okay. All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. Lots of love. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.